Hello and welcome to the Equitopia podcast from the horse's mouth. My name is Caroline Hegarty, founder of Equitopia. For the past number of months, we have been talking to different professionals in the equine industry and getting their perspectives on equine care. In this episode, we take a step back to look at things from a different angle. We are going to consider the importance of the rider's health and well-being and are talking to Gabrielle Diacon, who runs Yoga for Every Equestrian programs, specializing in riders' body awareness in order to optimize their effectiveness. My first question for Gabrielle was how she got interested in horses and how did this interest develop in her early years?
I first started riding when I was 4 years old and I went to a pony camp. I think it's probably just about everybody's story. I was actually very afraid, and it was my friend's idea. But from that day, I mean, the pony took me to a hay bale and ripped the reins out of my hands, and I was petrified. And yet, I wanted to do nothing else in the world. And then from there, it just took off. I started riding and they actually shut down and they needed to get rid of their horses. And the pony that I used to ride, they gave up for adoption. And my parents knew nothing about horses, God bless them. But they, you know, they took the pony and I kept riding. And I wish I could say that he was that all-star pony that, you know, is every girl's dream, but he actually turned out that the pony camp gave him some extra supplements to keep him calm. So once we got him home, he actually ended up trampling me. And yet I couldn't get enough. So after a while, we retired him and just kept him in a big field. And then, you know, I was about 12 years old and I was still just, all I wanted to do was be around horses. I didn't even care if I was riding them. So my mom told me that I could get, you know, if I could get a job at a farm, she would drive me. I kept begging her and begging her if I could work at a farm. I was just obsessed with the idea. So I called every single barn in the phone book in our area, and I finally found a farm, Highlands Farm, that would allow me to work at 12. Not for lessons, just a free worker, but probably, you know, you're 12. I didn't know much. They'd probably have to clean up more after me, so it was still kind to them. And that was it. My mom started driving me to the barn every day, and I've just always been obsessed about the work that goes into horses and just everything from the ground up. You know, I love to ride them. My favorite thing is, you know, what makes them tick. You know, you can really learn a lot about a horse on the ground. It's a huge part of my life.
It is so clear that Gabrielle developed a passion that was almost an obsession for all things related to horses. But what did she do with this passion, and what were the experiences, both positive and negative, that drove and shaped her career as a professional in the equine industry?
Riding professionally was never something in the cards for me from a young age, even though I was obsessed with them, and that is all I wanted to do. But I was not the best junior rider. It didn't really seem plausible. But when I was about 17 years old, you know, a neighbor, their child wanted to ride. They weren't really into it. She just wanted her to get out and exercise. And so I went over there and I started teaching her. And I wasn't too bad. I mean, I'm sure I wasn't great. But I just loved working with the kid. I loved seeing the excitement in her face and all of that. So I was 17 and I told my parents, you know, I would love to continue with this. And I have great parents, don't judge them off the story, but they kind of laughed at me a little bit. And they're like, no, you're going to go to college. So I did, you know, I went and I decided, I was like, okay, I'm really going to give a good old college try. And I took, you know, I was like, decided to take some time off from riding. Well, that lasted about a week because I got there and I saw a poster for the equestrian team. Now, they were IHSA. They aren't college accredited. So it was equestrian club, technically, to the school, but it was their team. So I saw the poster and I was like, oh, I have to try out. So I ended up trying out and my team was awesome. The girls were incredible. Now, I hate to say it, but the coach was just very discouraging. I mean, she said some things to myself about, you know, physically my torso was too long to ever succeed to be a rider. That one always stuck out to me and kind of makes me laugh. And things to other girls that I just thought, just because we're sitting in the saddle does not mean that you can say these awful things. And so it was really a transformative experience for me. I stuck with it. I actually became the captain. And then halfway through my year of being a captain, I decided that I could not stand by a trainer that was so awful to the students. And it really made me think, you know, about the sport and just everything. And as hard of an experience as it was, I think it's a huge, huge part of what I do now. And almost in a way, I'm thankful for it. Because after that, I decided that, you know, I was going to just go have fun. I went to a trail riding facility. I stopped competing. And I found my absolute passion and love for the horses again, which I've never lost, but I really lost some of my purpose in it. So I then from there found a hunter jumper barn and started to compete again. And my number one thing was finding a very positive role model. I wanted to find somebody that was encouraging and excited about the sport. I just decided that I would make finding the most encouraging, positive way to be a teacher my career. You know, I knew it had to be something that inspired riders, and it had to be something that excited me. So that's kind of where my teaching and riding professionally really began.
I find this very interesting. Very often when we talk about the rider in equestrianism, we talk about the rider's technique, soft hands, balanced posture, and so on. But the rider's attitude and emotional and mental well-being is something that needs to be seriously considered also. Maybe some of you attended or have watched the recording of the webinar we did with Dr. Gerd Heuschmann, where he spoke about all of this. He says that in order to have a good seat, you have to be a completely stable, relaxed, friendly, self-confident, forgiving person. He says if you are an arrogant person, if you have too big an ego, then there's no chance of getting the seat. He believes that a rider who feels insecure will have a hard time being accepted by the horse, and the horse will not want to follow. You need to be a person who's able to lead. Gabrielle told me about her wonderful relationship with her mother and how when she sadly passed away, she started doing more yoga, which she found helped her cope with her loss, but also started to impact on her riding. I asked her to tell me about some specific examples of how her riding improved for her and her horse as a result of her yoga practice.
In those moments, I found yoga. I had always practiced, but I found it in a whole new light. I mean, it became my saving grace. I really started to practice and practice and practice, and I found something shifting within me and riding not as frequently as I could, but I found that when I was riding, something was changing. My riding was by no means better yet because I wasn't riding as much, but my retention was better, and then all of a sudden my focus was better, and then all of a sudden things started to really change. My body aligned physically and mentally. I mean, my concentration forward, my eyes up, that all came from my yoga practice. You know, I practiced riding every day, and you could practice so much in the saddle, but there are some things that need to be done on the ground, and it's just something very, very special. Riding a horse and having it happy is such a rewarding feeling. You know, to have a horse just really enjoy while you ride it, it makes all the difference.
That sounds fascinating. I asked Gabrielle to briefly explain to me why exactly she decided to take the next step by creating yoga programs for other equestrians.
It was to create an environment of positivity in the sport. It was to create this place of we're all struggling and we're all working extremely hard. I think that we can't truly be kind to our horse if we're having a hard time and being so critical of ourselves or other riders. And so it just is about bringing it back to the basics of being with your horse and encouraging yourself and riding from a place of, you know, mental calmness.
It is not uncommon for equestrians who are so passionate about their sport to want to be able to spend more than just their free time with horses. The decision to give up a day job to take on the risk of going it alone is not something that can be made lightly. So I asked Gabrielle to tell me if and how she struggled when she started out with her Yoga for Equestrian programs.
Truth be told, I don't think that the struggle really came for the Yoga for Every Equestrian. I think that the struggle came much earlier when I decided to become a professional. I think that that is when a lot of those questions really started swirling around in my head. And it's starting a business, so everybody who strives and constantly tries to learn is always questioning if it's enough. But I think that there are always going to be struggles, especially when it's a passion. I think that when it is something you're passionate about, you struggle even more because it consumes you.
I asked Gabrielle to tell me a bit about the challenges she faces as an entrepreneur in the equine industry and how she deals with the pressure of business.
The challenges are just exciting. I'm always having fun. I get to learn so much with this because it is new, and I get to learn from other professionals of all types, and it's just been a lot of fun. I really, like I said, yoga has just opened up so many amazing doors to meet so many incredible professionals. And, you know, my mom once said, and she was giving a speech, that never take yourself too seriously, but always take your business seriously. And that has always stuck with me. I think that, you know, being young in the business and exploring new things and being an entrepreneur, it's always a little bit scary. So you always put on this super professional front. But yoga really teaches you to just be more human. You know, we're all people. And so that's one thing I always have to remind myself of, just to joke around and have fun. It's all supposed to be fun. You know, we're so lucky to be in a sport where we can have fun while we do it.
I asked Gabrielle what improvements she sees in equestrianism today.
I think that the places I see the most improvement in the equestrian world are, like, is this trend towards positivity. I think that it's kind of a nationwide trend. It's not just in the equestrian world, but it definitely is a big impact in the equestrian world. I think that the younger riders, you know, if they're following the right people on social media, they're following positive influences. And I think it's very important to surround yourself by positivity and make sure that what you are reading is, you know, correct and you're following the right places. But I also make it a very big point in my life to surround myself with very positive and encouraging riders. And I think that everybody should, especially kids. I think that's just one of the most important things to do. So honestly, and listening to top riders speak and top trainers, and they're constantly talking about the mental aspect of the sport and visualization and positivity. I think that, and also a big focus back to the basics of body position and getting your horse to move right and doing everything that you can to ride correctly for your horse. I think that that's honestly just the biggest improvement that I've seen.
And what about the negatives? Are there any areas she sees that we should be careful about?
You know, I brought up social media just before, and I think that that really makes it very, very hard for young riders to constantly compare themselves. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, girls are looking at pictures of other girls and how beautiful they are. But I think in the riding world, it's even worse. You know, you watch other people's equitation. You have to remember that that is a split second of a video. People are only posting the good stuff. You know, they're not going to have an awful ride and be like, yep, this is going to be my Facebook profile picture. You know, so I think that is with all of the good, it also has a lot of bad. And I think that people are constantly comparing themselves. And it's, you know, I like the analogy that they use in swimming. If you look over at the other lane, you're slowing yourself down. So I think a big thing is just to really focus on yourself. And like I said, make sure that you find a very positive, educated coach and trainer. I think that it is so easy to take away confidence, and it's so easy to give it. So always finding the right fit for you of who your teacher is. And, you know, of course, yoga. I think that yoga is the number one thing that has really helped me, not only physically, but just mentally, being a little bit more in control of my thoughts and kind of zoning out all of that chatter and just really being able to focus on my horse. So if you love the animal and you love the horse, I think just be there and do it with purpose and keep learning and keep educating yourself and don't waste so much time with negative thoughts. So I think that that is something that really just as a whole, we just need to keep pushing forward and pushing forward. Just bring out more positive and encouraging trainers overall. I think it is a really, really big responsibility of teachers to keep students engaged and keep their hopes up. So that is definitely a big one for me.
I was also interested to hear her views on what the future of equestrianism holds.
I think that the future is very exciting for the equestrian world. I think that a big wave of open-mindedness and safety is coming our way. I mean, top riders like Sandy Farrell wearing a vest in her Hunter debuts, and then Allison Springer being the first to wear a helmet at the Kentucky three-day event. I think that we're really kind of opening the sport up to a lot of encouraging and positive things forward. You know, it was almost taboo back in the day to put safety first. And, you know, I do see very, very exciting things in the wave of safety, inclusiveness. Everybody can be a part of it. I really love the inclusive ideals. I do. So I think that, you know, I can't predict the future, but I think that really great things are coming and very, very fun things are coming. So I'm very excited.
I asked Gabrielle the all-important question that I have asked everyone to date. What kind of attitudes would she look for in equine professionals?
So I think that the biggest quality I look for in each team member is, I think I covered this a ton, but positivity, especially from trainers. I think that that is a really, really big one. A very open mind, a willing to work with riders as individuals, as well as horses. They have to have an eye for the horse and an overall positive attitude. And then on top of that, a constant striving to learn, of a professional that is always educating themselves, looking for the newest thing, and never, ever done learning. I think that that is my biggest thing. I had one farrier who really sticks out to me, and he once apologized to me. He said, "I'm so sorry it's taking me, you know, the whole day. I know you have a lot to do, but I just really want to make sure it's perfect." And I, from that day on, was like, I'm never going to use anybody else. I think that that is incredible. He would have me walk horses, ask me how they're doing in training, you know, what's this, let's work together. And so a real deep caring for the horse as well, and a passion for what you're doing and a pride in what you're doing. I think that that is really, really what I look for in professionals. Just, you know, they have to match my excitement and have all that passion. So I think that is very, very important to me.
We're compiling a list of books recommended by people we interview in the podcast, which we'll be making available very soon. So I asked Gabrielle if she could recommend some books that she believes would be interesting for equestrians.
I absolutely love reading. I think that it is extremely important to, you know, self-study at home and really learn everything you can. So the first book that I have had for a very long time, and I'm always referring back to it, and I really love, is by Susan E. Harris. It's called The Natural Mechanics of Movement, Common to All Breeds, Horse Gaits, Balance, and Movement. It's just very basic. It really paints a great picture. She's got awesome illustrations in it, and I really love that one. You know, it's not specific to any discipline. It's just a really awesome covering of the horse's biomechanics. So I think that's very, very important. And then the second one is Lynn Palm's Head to Toe Horsemanship. And that goes into a lot more detail about the rider's position, keeping the horse happy. And she actually put some really important stretches in there that I recommend through yoga. Anyway, so she kind of covers those, and I really do love her exercises in there. So that's another great one. And then third, honestly, I mean, I could recommend books all day, but I think that it should be more of an inspirational book for you. You know, whatever sets a fire or gets you really excited. Like, I know I just, off the top of my head, is Rachel Hollis. Sorry, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. I probably should be. But Girl, Wash Your Face. stop believing the lies about who you are, you know, so you can become who you were meant to be. Just, I mean, there's so many books like that too. Hers is very good. She's a great writer. She really paints a picture and it's funny and it's silly. But anything that just kind of really motivates you, you know, a yoga book, just something that helps you conquer your mind. I'm really big about books that inspire. So again, I love reading. I don't think you can go wrong. I mean, you can go wrong, but just finding a book that really inspires you, something that you're interested in, that you like to read, but, and then educational horse books as well. So I think that's very important. I think that making sure that you're constantly educating yourself.
I really enjoyed chatting with Gabrielle. The topic was somewhat different to the usual podcast episodes, but one which should not be ignored. Nowadays, we hear more and more about mental health, how it impacts everything we do, and influences whether we thrive or simply survive in our leisure activities, business ventures, relationships, and so on. So why should it not be important in our riding? Why not take a minute to reflect on how you look after your mental and emotional well-being? Do you think it's important? Have you ever noticed a difference in the saddle between you feeling happy and confident versus when you're having a bad day? Have you ever tried yoga? Are you doing your best to look after yourself so that you can be the best partner possible for your horse? Something to think about. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in again next month for more from the Horse's Mouth.